Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 101 for November 5th, 2019. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research, and today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each, and we've put the list together of your top requests, and we're going to go through as many of those as we can today. So we are recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern time, and so the recording will be up on timingresearch.com as soon as we're done here. And then it'll also be on the Timing Research YouTube and podcast channels. So be sure to subscribe there if you want to get instant updates on the recording. Today, I have arranged for Matt Buckley to join us again and Jim Kenny to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jim.
Great. And good to be with everybody. Today, we got Matt Buckley with us. And of course, he's from Top Gun Options. And he's got extremely long history of experience in this stuff. And one of the best parts about Wiz is that he'll give you the facts as he sees them, his opinion as he sees them, and not be wishy-washy about it like many other people can be. And that's very helpful when you're trying to decide what you want to do. So rather than going on about Matt Buckley, I'm going to let him do it. And he'll tell you also about what's going on at Top Gun Options.
Hey, Jim. Good to work with you again. I love when other people talk about me. That's fantastic. No, thanks. Thanks for having me, David, and good working with you, Jim. Yeah, here at Top Gun Options, we do live trade briefs throughout the week. Had two great briefs today, weekly options, and also our solo Amazon, our new service at 3 o'clock or yesterday afternoon. And then we did our primary today. A lot of stuff going on, which we're going to get into that impacts these names, helped run a multi-billion dollar, one of the largest volatility arbitrage firms in the world, into Board of Trade, and then was the founder and CEO of the Options News Network, and then been the CEO of Top Gun Options here for actually this month. This month is our 10-year anniversary. So looking forward to knocking it out today, Jim.
Yeah, you bet. And obviously we made new highs, so it'll be interesting to see your take on whether this is the beginning of something big or this might not be a follow through and all that kind of stuff, because a lot of people are wondering what's going on out there as far as this kind of a big rally, this kind of extended move, and of course new highs, gets people very excited. But let's at the halfway point, we'll get more of the stuff that you're looking at, your views, your opinions at the midway point. But right now, let's go over the list. The first one is obviously the China deal with Baba. And what are you seeing with Baba?
I'm not a Baba guy at all. It's obviously way super overextended over the 50-day and 200-day moving average here, and it looks like we're getting right around the last time we peaked out on this, we got a trade deal. Trust me, believe me, huge trade deal. And then we imploded. So had good earnings the other day, relatively good earnings. But mm-hmm. if you're going to be in something like Baba, anything Chinese government or Chinese at all related, I'm just sitting on my hands with. If you want to be in a Baba-like stock, to me, it's Amazon. But up here, I think it's way too, it's got a nice bounce after earnings here, but it's way too overextended, the 200-day moving average for me to get in here. Very rich valuations. This is a hold for me. I would jump into it at this point.
Yeah, it seems like it had a big spike in volume, and sometimes after a spike in volume, if it doesn't follow through, it falls under its own weight type thing.
That's exactly right. Yeah, big spike on earnings, and then here we go. It's just falling right off.
Yeah. Any Chinese stocks, or are you kind of pretty much sticking with the domestics, right?
The only, it's not a China stock. The only China thing we're trading at all is the FXI, the iShares China Large Cap ETF. This has been like shooting fish in a barrel. This thing moves on good trade news and then implodes on bad trade news. This was interesting. I called this for 2 weeks straight.
Okay.
A buddy of mine works for Macquarie over in Hong Kong. If you take a look at the FXI, the iShares China ETF, each one of these massive moves. So this level here and this level here, I'll explain in a second. But these implosions, explosions have been all on trade related headlines. This flat, 2 week flat right there, and this 2 week more or less flat is the invisible hand of what we call the PBOC, People's Bank of China, kind of doing their own QE. They're doing their own Fed, their own QE. So even today, they did a rare announcement of injecting liquidity. So in the old days, the PBOC used to talk about, flood the markets type of thing. Now they don't say a word publicly because they know Donald Trump would jump on Twitter and absolutely blast them for having to prop their markets up. But if you look at our own markets, our own Fed is doing a QE4 or pumping up our own market. So, but right. This is interesting. Whenever you see these plateaus, or I'm sorry, just kind of straight lining in the FXI, because we did have a mixed week last week of good and bad news as far as trade. But, you know, I expected bigger moves than my buddy overseas told me. He's like, dude, nope, open market operations, PBOC is buying. And obviously, you see this recent spike on, you know, hey, we got a trade deal, phase one, and we'll get into that more in a little bit. But the only China thing I'm trading is FXI, and I'm trading the hell out of it, just doing counter cyclical operations more or less. But no specific names. It's just not, there's too many other fish in the sea, in my opinion.
And the liquidity is pretty good with all that volume I'm seeing on the screen there, huh? It trades big volume.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Highly traded, big volume. Yeah. It's essentially the large, it's the Dow ETF for China, and this is a good proxy for the trade war. We're short-term bearish. I sold into this pop. We have two trades on for Friday to sell the heck out of this pop on essentially mixed headlines, which we can get into in a little bit. But very actively traded, and this would be a good proxy for the trade war, in my opinion.
Well, we have one here for the people who just won't leave a party after the party's over, and that's a cannabis stock, ACB. Yeah. And obviously, is the party ever coming back is the question. And what are you seeing on ACB? Aurora.
I don't trade any of the cannabis stock. I think it's stupid, to be honest with you. If you stayed in this thing as it did the slide for life, you deserve to lose all your money. I mean, seriously, folks. You know, I love losing at 100. I loved it at 70. I really loved it at 50. Hated it at 30 and thought I was an idiot at zero. These cannabis stocks, folks, it's the Wild West. It's like the Bitcoins, right? Until there's a clear front runner in these names, you're gambling. And if anything, I just kind of sit back and, a buddy of mine that does try and trade these things, and he is somewhat smart, kind of like the blockchain stuff. Don't trade the names and try and pick winners. Trade the underlying, you know, with this blockchain or the Bitcoin. It's all the technology under it, right? The blockchain, you need a server farm the size of an airplane hangar that puts out 7.6 gigawatts or something like that. Okay, then trade servers or, the device or device stocks or any of those. Same thing with this. I'd actually go with the fertilizers, Monsanto or Potash or some of the underlying stocks that have to help grow this stuff. But as far as picking individual weed name stocks, I think it's folly. You got to be lucky. It's like around the dot-com bubble. You know, there's an Amazon, there's an eBay, there's a pets.com, and, you know, there's a bunch of other things. You know, there's Jeff Bezos, you know, using a card table with like an Amazon poster behind him, and now he's a kabillionaire. So, you know, if you were in pets.com and not Amazon, you hate yourself. So these weed stocks make no sense to me. If you want to gamble, gamble. If you want to make money in solid names, but this makes no sense to me.
I think Jim had some technical issues. So if you want to go ahead and go on to the next one, KLAC, and I'll try to get him back on the...
Yeah, you bet. KLAC. Let's bring that up. KLAC. KLAC Corp. I'm not into this one as well. I do like the semiconductor space. It's a tech company. How did they make out with earnings here? Earnings, a little bit of a pullback on earnings. Let's see how we're doing in relation to the moving averages. KLAC. Wow, look at that. I mean, it's doing an escalator. There's your 200-day moving average, the red line, and then there is your 50-day moving average, and it is just well above its 50-day moving average. There's a lot of Wall Street isms out there. The trend is your friend. Check out the trend in that stock. It just it is going up. I don't trade KLAC, so I hate jumping in and giving people advice just based on charts. I need to know more about it, especially having earnings there, dip on earnings, and get back on the treadmill. Solid looking chart, but here at Topkin Options, we have a different process than just using charts and reverse Fibonacci, Ichimuchu, scratch your back, cloud type of stuff. It's called strategic and operational tactical, SOT. Strategic, what's going on around the globe, operational, what's going on in the United States, and then we get tactical and trade. So I like the semiconductor space. That's a good looking chart. I just need to dig into that a little bit more. Nugget. Nugent. The first thing, I don't trade this. If I do trade gold or anything like that, I trade the GLD or I trade the GOLD. But we'll go back to the one that some folks asked about. The first thing that is a warning sign to me are these three times ETFs. The three time ETFs, folks, they rebalance on a daily basis. Okay. And also there's contango and also backwardation involved in a lot of these. Let's take a look at a 6 month chart. A lot of volatility, obviously, in the miners. This would be a symbol to trade, right? Let's compare this with the S&P 500. So the green line right there is the S&P 500. And this thing is obviously significantly underperforming the S&P 500. The only reason I trade, and this is years ago, I stopped trading the GLD years ago, to be honest with you, folks. I didn't think it's on this chart. It's probably 5-6 years ago. Maybe this, when is that? No, it's well outside this chart. Paulson, the guy that predicted the housing crisis, he more or less predicted the financial crisis of 2009, became a kabillionaire. And what happened to him? He got into the GLD with both feet, was a big player, and a bunch of hedge funds and large financial institutions ganged up to take him out and actually pounded the GLD into the dirt. I was long GLD as a hedge against inflation, which there really wasn't any, so that was a bad call. And was long the GLD just to, this was back when Barack Hussein Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu and Iran, and I had it on fantastic authority that Iran was going to strike, that Israel was going to strike Iran's the nuclear stuff, and they didn't, because Barack Hussein Obama begged them not to and was going to give them the bunker busting technology to do it if they needed. Israel didn't strike. Obama lied and didn't give him the bombs, and Netanyahu hated the guy ever since. My point being is I was using the GLD as more of a world hedge than anything, and I got taken to the cleaners by a bunch of hedge funds ganging up on Paulson. I don't trade that. So this nugget thing, this three-time direction thing, absolutely is a third rail for me, and I just don't trade it. Looks like a good thing to trade if you know what you're doing, but it would be more of a day trading thing, and I simply don't day trade. CRM. I like Salesforce earnings coming up on the 20th. I do not do earnings trades, and here's why. It's gambling, right? I'd wait until after Salesforce reports. This doesn't look like a solid three-month chart here. I mean, we're more or less hugging around this red line, which is the 50-day moving average. There's a six-month chart. This is dead money to me. This is boring. If you like boring, knock yourself out. I don't like boring. It's down negative 1.1% in 6 months. Let's take a look at the year performance, a one-year performance, 21%. That's not boring right there. 21% is actually pretty good for a year. CRM, I used Salesforce in one of my companies. I like the product, but like I said, this is kind of boring, and I definitely wouldn't be trading it earnings. If anything, the trade going into earnings would be a little bit bearish on it, along with the overall market. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes as I power through some of these names, because I just think the overall market is way over its ski tips. Perfect example, yesterday, Dow's up 100 and whatever, 40, 50, 60, and we gave half that back into the close. Dow was up, 70, 80 today, and we gave exactly half of that back into the close. We're getting these lower highs and starting to really peak out here. This kind of looks like the recent market. Let's take a look. Take a look at the S&P 500 versus CRM. Okay, so CRM recently has outperformed, but any big run-up in a name going into earnings, I sit on my hands. Here's why I want to tell you I don't trade earnings, because you can be right and wrong. That doesn't make sense. It makes perfect sense. What do you mean? I've been doing this for 27 years, so I'm positive. I've been trading CRM for years. I know that they had a blowout quarter. It's going to be fantastic, right? And you put on, I don't know, you buy some calls or do a bullish trade around Salesforce going in earnings. CEO gets on the call and tells you what a blowout quarter you had. And after hours, the stock's going up and you're sitting there going, man, I am Wile E. Coyote, super genius, man. Warren Buffett ain't got nothing on me. And then the second half of the earnings call, the guy goes, yeah, but the foreseeable future sucks. And now the stock's down 50% after hours. Do not trade earnings, folks. How many of you have been right trading earnings and lost money? I don't like doing things where I'm right and lose. Hell, I, in options trading, I've been wrong and made money. That's what I like. I remember, it seems like years ago, the Brexit, right? I got the Brexit wrong. I'm like, I think they'll probably vote to stay. And I was wrong. But we made $22,000 getting long volatility going into the vote and then shorting volatility as they voted. I didn't care what the outcome was, but I got it wrong. So I wouldn't do this. I would definitely not do CRM in front of earnings, see what they have to say about earnings, and then maybe dip your toe in it. AMD, solid stock, like Advanced Micro Devices. Do not like it here with a massive run. And this is going to be a theme with a lot of names that you see that have done this. Earnings, I think they had really, on one of my cheat sheets, they had a really good earning. I forget what the numbers were because I don't trade AMD specifically. But yeah, you know, it's at a 52-week high. Any stock right now that's at a 52-week high, you would be foolish to get into. Now, I'm talking about people who believe that we're over our ski tips and this market just has come way too far, way too fast. If, and this is the beautiful thing about a market, if you completely disagree with me, what do? You jump in and load the boat right now with AMD. Let's see what it is in relation to its 50 and twos. Holy crap. No, never mind. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it had a quintuple top right here, and it failed last week. And then look at this. There is no way on God's green earth I would be bullish on this stock. I would be bearish simply for technical analysis. Holy crap. I haven't seen something this extended over a moving average in a long, long time. I don't care what you say about AMD. Trees don't grow to the sky. This thing needs a breather for me to even consider. Absolutely not. Would not get into AMD right here. And if you're in it, get out. Take some money off the table. Nobody's gone broke taking a profit. That chart is insane. You know, can it be insane-er? Can it keep going up? Sure. I've never seen that before, which means if it happens, it would be a shock. But oh God, no. AMD. I love the name though. I'd get it on a pullback. I think the overall market is going to pull back here. And we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. But that's insane. I didn't think it popped that much. GBTC. I have no idea what that is. GBTC. And usually grayscale Bitcoin. Oh, God, no. No pass. I'm not a Bitcoin guy, folks. To the Top Gun Options members, here's when something gets options on it, I know that it's grown up enough for me to trade it and to start looking into it. Bitcoin, ladies and gentlemen, is the Wild West. There ain't no CFTC. There ain't no SEC. There aren't no rules. There is no, it is absolutely the Wild West. And I don't trade things that are Wild West. Do I get the technology and might it be something into the future? Yeah. But I already use the analogy with the weed stocks. Same thing with Bitcoin. You're betting on it. You can go with Bitcoin, the main name, but anything that was up as high as 20 and then back down as low as 3 again is just, it's insanity. Trade the underlying, trade the AMDs when it pulls back. I just do not trade Bitcoin. The other reason you don't trade Bitcoin, does anybody know what happened to about, what was it, a year ago? $600 million worth of Bitcoin when you woke up one day? It was gone. Why? North Korea took it. I'm going to tell you as a military man and as a buddy who's got a lot of buddies still wearing uniforms with stars on their shoulders, every country who's not completely nuts, and even the completely nuts ones like in Iran or North Korea, they know not to do this. And here's what I'm talking about, is to mess with our financial system. The People's Liberation Army has the capability right now to wake up tomorrow and push a button and every account that you own, whether it's a credit card or a bank, would be at zero. You want to talk about terror? Every brokerage account you have, every checking account, every savings account is at zero. They zeroed it out. That is doable. The reason they don't is because we've all kind of agreed back channel that an attack on a country's financial system or even infrastructure, right? Everybody remember when the power went out in New York years ago and within hours it was like Planet of the Apes. Everybody knows not to do that because it would be treated as a first strike. Do you know what that means? That means full-scale retaliatory strike, potentially a nuclear war. So why am I going on this long tangent? Because it's not a tangent. Bitcoin is not a party to any of that. The United States government, Steve Mnuchin, our Treasury Secretary, has gone to great lengths to say Bitcoin ain't protected by anything, meaning wink, wink. And then I think it was actually a week after he made those type of comments, a lot of it evaporated. Well, it didn't evaporate. It went into North Korean servers. I don't trade in stuff like this. It's a waste of money. Why would you you risk your hard-earned money in something that you just don't even, you can't even, it just, it makes, I'm not going to waste more time on it. Good luck. Knock yourself out. Bib. Biogen. Pass. Why? Look at this. Absolutely dead money into earnings, and then you got this freak show. Holy crap. Look at that. This is, no. Helping run one of the most powerful and largest equity options trading firms in the world. It was absolutely forbidden to trade biotechs. Why? Because of that and because of this. This is gambling. I remember one of our trades, we after a while, we hard-coded all the systems that you couldn't trade a biotech name. Initially, it was just a rule, and we thought people followed it. Until one trader, I did the debrief after this guy lost $4 million in the blink of an eye. I did after he was removed from the property. I did the debrief, and he said, "Hey, man, Wiz, this guy said whatever it was immunogen." He said, "Hey, man, it had passed phase one. It had passed phase mm-hmm. two. There's no way in hell it was going to pass phase three." Put this massive bet on, and of course, the FDA failed it on phase three. So in the blink of an eye, it went from 80 to whatever it was to like four in the blink of an eye. And we lost $4 million. I do not trade biotech stocks and unless you have some inside information, which is also illegal. It's gambling, folks. I'll never forget, man, this whole, it passed every FDA phase, whatever. And of course, it's going to pass the last one. And of course, it didn't. So whenever you hear somebody say something like that, that's zero biotechs. Do not gamble. If you like gambling, if you like gray hair, and you like losing sleep over trades, go ahead and trade a biotech, not me.
Hey, Wiz.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about halfway through. I'm back on. And I was wondering if you could kind of give us a little bit of stuff that you're focusing on. And are you looking at general stocks, or are there certain sectors you say that you kind of focus in on? Like, you know,
well,
are you
actually
just looking at the whole board?
A little bit of both. Okay. Today, in our primary brief, the sector you got to take a look at right now that's ignoring absolutely everything that's going on in global markets and our markets are defense stocks. United okay. Technology, Raytheon, just absolutely solid stocks that are ignoring the overall stock market. Why are they doing that? And you can go back to the 6-month chart. Right around here is when they started to, this is Raytheon. Raytheon was awesome for us. Let me do a 1-year chart. Look at this. So we were doing iron condors like you read about. This was the announcement of UTX buying Raytheon. I said, do not eject out of this trade yet, even though it was almost, or it was a max loss. Why? Because 2 days later, it came back to the mean here. But look at this. So nice, stable defense stock. And then look at what happened here. We really started to lift off when British tankers getting seized. There's a drone attack. There's the attack on the Saudi Arabian oil fields. Folks, this is a little Gordon Gekko to say, you know, as an American, I don't want bad stuff happening around the world. As a Gordon Gekko from Wall Street, I'm going to tell you to get into a defense stock because right now, even though it's not the biggest story, it was the biggest story for a couple months there, right? We had British tankers. We had drone strikes. The president was, I'm locked and loaded. Remember his tweets? I'm locked and loaded. And, you know, they shot down our drone. I'm going to crack him in the skull. And then he punted. That was a huge mistake on the president's part. The president said he made a market. He made a market that one drone equals 150 dudes, you know, because he did the whole, oh, I found out that 150 people might die. So I'm a benevolent president. I'm like, that was the dumbest thing you could have said. So now we equate a drone with 150 people. He made a market. So that's bad. And then that didn't get our attention. The Iranians were like, well, apparently that didn't do any good. So they did, it wasn't just a drone attack. They launched cruise missiles into Saudi Arabia. The reason I'm rumbling about all this stuff is because you want a nice, safe sector to get into that's performing very well and unfortunately is going to perform even weller are the defense stocks. UTX and Raytheon are supposed to merge or buy, which UTX is buying Raytheon or they're merging, forget which, whoever the mom and dad is here. But we have great bullish trades on United Technologies and Raytheon. So that's a good sector trade. As far as everything else, man, the only three things we trade Brazil sometimes because it's kind of the second half, second best house in a bad neighborhood. Bolsonaro's down there. They're calling him the Trump of the tropics, and the guy's really doing the EWZ had a massive run recently on their privatization, easy for me to say, privatization of a lot of the government services. services into everything in Brazil is owned and run by the government. I mean, you think us going to the DMV is bad. Everything's the DMV down there. And Bolsonaro's getting rid of all that stuff. And last week, he announced this massive pension reform, kind of, you know, trying to turn Brazil into becoming a Chicago and being insolvent. So we've been trading the EWZ, but our three core trades we've been doing, Jim, have been the FXI, just trading the hell out of China, right, and the S&P, just purely S&P 500. We've been selling all these rips, and August was my best month in 27 years of trading. This was absolutely insanity. This was fantastic. We love this stuff. But with the market at just way overextended here, the altimeter we really go back to all the time is the VIX. Folks, when you see a VIX down here for an extended period, you know, we're going on 2 weeks of absolutely no heart rate. The VIX is a heart rate monitor, folks. It goes up. It goes, holy crap, oh, it's gone. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes. So guess what, man? We rarely, extremely rare to see an extended period of low volatility like this. So the past 2 days, we've seen green, right? We had a Monday rip your face off rally, little Tuesday, you know, green on the screen. Both days, the VIX was up. Mm-hmm. Market up, VIX up, something's up. And the something that is up, folks, is I know I do a lot of calls, talk to a lot of people. Ain't nobody getting uber bullish up here at record highs, especially if you're not looking at what the Chinese are saying. The Chinese said, hey, you know, first of all, I don't know English for phase one. We don't know what phases you're talking about. There's only one deal. So, you know, Trump, Mr. Art of the Deal here, you know, we were going to be going on round, you know, we were the media was counting them. The last one was round 15. You know, negotiators are meeting for the 15th round. That starts sounding stupid. So what do? You go to the whiteboard and erase it and go, hey, let's call them phases. So now we are in phases. The Chinese have refused to even call. There ain't no phases. Here's what I'm getting at. The U.S., this whole phase one that we have, the U.S. has agreement in theory on, you know, phase one. China has said getting, you know, just not, you guys just not increasing the tariffs in December isn't good enough. You need to get rid of all tariffs or we're not doing whatever you're calling phase one. Mm-hmm. So the market right now is not listening to the Chinese. They're listening to who? The president. They're listening to a Mnuchin. I haven't heard from Peter Navarro, who is a hawk. Yeah. Right now, China is doing what Iran and North Korea do. They say, hey, we'll stop this really bad behavior if you lift every sanction. And Donald Trump is not Lucy with the football. Donald Trump is we're not removing anything until you do what you say you're going to do. So that's why, you know, North Korea kind of shut up a little bit, but Iran's like, no, we're not. We won't even meet with the president unless you get rid of the sanctions. And he said no. So if the president folds a little bit here, as Rabbo was talking about earlier, it's not going to look good. If you read The Art of the Deal, the worst thing you could possibly do in a deal is seem desperate to make it. That makes the other guy smell blood and then you're dead. So this market being up here on kind of quote unquote good news on trade, we've seen it. We're in what, 20 months of this? The market being up here on hopes. I love these Wall Street Journal headlines. Markets rally on hopes of a trade deal. Well, guess what, man? This word, initial, the Chinese aren't saying there ain't no initial trade agreement. There's only a trade agreement. So folks, when you see confusion coming from two people in negotiations, and we're rallying only on what one side is telling us, you're more or less setting yourselves up for failure. So I am not, we're short the market here through Friday. We're getting long volatility and we're short essentially that FXI, that China, because we are actually listening and reading the Southern China Morning Post, the Global Times. You have got to have these on your Twitter feed, folks. Look at what the Chinese are saying, not what our president is saying. If you were listening to what our president was saying 18 months ago, he's walking out to Marine One. He said, hey, I just talked to Xi. We're going to have a huge trade deal. He's coming to Florida to sign it. Here we are 18 months later. So, you know, be very, very careful in this market. Like I said, nice stability in the defense stocks, but everything else, man, I'm keeping my grouping very, very tight and getting long anything at record highs in a market like this is folly, in my opinion.
And the sentiment on a stock like Apple, I don't think I've ever heard it stronger. I'm hearing words like bulletproof and there's no way I want to do a call spread because the sky's the limit. Because they don't want to have the corresponding short call. You know what I mean? They just want to do an outright calls only because the sky's the limit. So that's pretty darn optimistic. And the 200-day moving average on Apple is under $200. So it's getting a little frothy from the sentiment standpoint.
Well, it is. And look at that, man. I mean, my God, there's the 50-day moving average, and it's just, it's hyper extended over the 50-day moving average. You got to be careful with Apple, folks. People have very, very, very short-term memories. I don't. It's memory like a steel trap. I remember about 6 months ago, China saying, hey, man, if you don't, you know, take these tariffs off Apple, you're the first. They actually named the company. They said the word Apple and said, you're the first one to go. You're using seven-year-old kids over here, and you're using our silver and all of our precious metals for pretty cheap. In the blink of an eye, China could, Apple could be at zero, and I'm not being facetious. So, you know, people are like, that'll never happen. If the Chinese government threatened it months ago, don't tell me that can't happen again. Don't calling Apple bulletproof and stuff like that is absolute insane. I briefed Topcon Options members on reports coming out of China of people not using their iPhones in public because they were embarrassed. It was anti-Chinese. You know, it was like not calling French fries. We called them American fries because we hated for whatever. I was like, holy crap. I mean, they were physically either going to ban the iPhone in China or kick the company out. So folks, you load the boat with this stuff. You have got to take a look at threats. And at Topcon Options, as a fighter pilot, as an options trader, before I place any trade, I look at every known, that's the key word, every known threat. You know, as Rumsfeld said, there are unknown unknowns, the things we don't know that we don't know. But if there are some known knowns out there, you got to sit down and write them out and say, hey, man, these are the potential threats to this trade, and rank them. I teach folks at Topcon Options in my coaching programs about risk management, how to number, give a trade a number from 1 to 5 as far as how, quote, risky it is. Because, you know, Jim, you ask somebody, oh yeah, it's a good looking trade. You know, how risky is it? Mm-hmm. You get either not, very, somewhat, all nebulous words. And I teach people actually how to give it a number based on probability versus severity. But that is a threat, man. I mean, everybody's kind of giddy about a trade deal until it doesn't happen, or until, you know, we're one tweet or one report away out of this going the other way. And here's the other question is, even though we are, you know, kind of up here at 52-week highs, do we, you and I both know this Wall Streetism all too well. Buy on the rumor, sell on the news.
Right.
Even looking at these two guys shaking hands, and even when the ink dries on this trade deal, it will not be worth the paper it's printed on. There is no way on God's green earth the Chinese are going to stop stealing everything they're already involved in stealing, from Joint Strike Fighter plans to submarines to being hacked into Goldman Sachs. They're not going to do that. They're not going to stop subsidizing companies. Third. So when you see these headlines like, hey, we have pretty good agreement on some issues, you know, and I'll never forget that, you know, who was it? Mnuchin getting on an airplane. He's like, we're 90% of the way there. He was getting on an airplane, 90% of the way there. But of course, he didn't tell you that the 10% that was outstanding were the biggest issues.
Exactly. That was the hardest. It's like the red zone in football, the last 20 yards, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And guess what happened 4 days after he said we're 90% of the way there? They called back and said, hey, Mr. President, they think Biden's going to win, and they think they're just going to slow walk this and get a better deal from a Democrat. He's like, they said what? Get on a plane and come home. The stock market was down like 500-600 points that Monday. So folks, this thing isn't even close to being over or finalized or being happy about and euphoric about. But when markets go up on hope, they tend to go down a hell of a lot harder on actual real news. So listen to, I'm going to say this again, because you have to go do this. Listen to the Chinese. Don't stop listening to our government. It's kind of sad that I have to say that. Like, go listen actually what the Chinese are saying about this deal more than our government. Because Donald Trump last night in Kentucky, at the cult rally, how's your 401? The dude looks at the market as much as I do throughout the day. So I'm actually of the belief that the president thinks he's got a little airspeed on the jet where he can maybe absorb a little bit of get a tougher deal. I don't see the president caving to the president going in and getting a phase one, which brings all the tariffs to zero, would be a massive loss for this president. So be very careful, man. This is not the time to be bullish, in my opinion. If you do, you got one hand on your ejection seat and you're ready to punch in the blink of an eye. I would not be loading the boat here, period.
I was wondering if you can give an opinion on a couple of things that I've been seeing that might be the winds of change blowing. And I know you trade a couple of these things all the time anyway. TLT, because because obviously the interest rates went nuts on the downside. They slashed them 60% in a year. And then everyone's thinking interest rates are going to zero. I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than the bond market. Last year, we were supposed to have hikes all in 2019. Yeah. All you got were cuts. And now we're supposed to be going to zero interest rates. And no one thinks any inflation will happen. And they think there'll be no growth. And they're just pricing depression like interest rates. But I see some winds of blowing on the TLT. Do you see anything there?
I'd agree with that. Right here, you know, everybody, it's, if you're a trader, it's almost like, you know, the Challenger disaster or some other bad thing happening in your life. You remember where you were, like 9/11. There's October 3rd when Jerome Powell, the last time he actually did his job as Fed chief, said, you know what, the economy's pretty good. I'm going to start raising interest rates. And there's your, all the way down to the Mnuchin Christmas massacre. Look at that implosion. Literally just the Fed saying he was going to raise interest rates and do his job sent us into a bear market. But the idea, you know, obviously the Fed's not political unless you're the, who was it, Dudley, the ex-New York Fed chief who wants the Fed to raise rates so, you know, the economy can implode so Trump doesn't get reelected. That was, I've never, and it was, you know, usually the Fed, you know, usually the Fed takes a pass on the political stuff, but that next day they actually had to issue a statement about, you know, reaffirming that they're not political. So, you know, the TLT, I don't actively trade it. I kind of keep it in my cockpit as an instrument to look at.
Right.
But yeah, the bond market is definitely flashing a lot of interesting signals, and it usually a canary in the coal mine. So it's definitely something that I monitor.
What about the oil? Because there has been a little bit of a little turn, and it's a little bit of a Middle East story too, because they're going to be going public with Aramco, and you know, it's like going public with an entire nation because the whole nation is connected to the thing.
Yeah. Here's the, you know, what's interesting is I remember, you know, 10, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, the seizing of a tanker in the Persian Gulf or the shootdown of a drone or even the attack of the Saudi oil fields, as you know, Jim, would have sent our markets down 1,000 points. I mean, the VIX would have been up at 50. Why? Because we get, we got a lot of our oil from there. Thank Donald Trump and thank this nation. We're a net exporter of energy now. So the guy, president's got a little bit of a point where he does the, you know, Iran having temper tantrum, I could care less. Close the Strait of Hormuz. We really don't need it. So you're right. Oil could be a big play, but the last time we saw, you know, those three incidents in the Gulf, the tanker seizure, the drone shoot down, and then the bombing of, you know, Saudi, you can't even get, I can't even say it with a straight face and not believe that we didn't go apeshit, was the bombing of Saudi Arabian oil fields.
I know.
So it's kind of going down. But you know what's an interesting ETF for me to look at? If you are betting on like an Aramco, you could, you know, trade the Aramco deal. But the KSA is under a lot of pressure here. And this was mainly back here. Had a good run, but then we had the whole Khashoggi murder and stuff like that. The KSA is an ETF that tracks Saudi Arabia. Not super volume, obviously. But to be honest with you, man, I'm not a big oil guy anymore now that we don't need it. It's one of those things that I was stunned. Well, I was stunned, but then after I thought about it and like I just explained it, now that we really don't need it that much, we don't care. We would care if it gets a lot worse because all the other countries ain't energy independent. You look at a China, I mean, on the down low, they're still getting oil from Iran and so is North Korea. I mean, there are ways around sanctions and stuff like that. But if there was a big problem in the Middle East and oil really did have a spike, that is going to hit us eventually. We're not that energy independent where a global spike in oil, you know, resulting in a global slowdown of markets, it is going to hit us, but it would take a while for us to hit.
You bullish on these banks or what are you thinking about the banks?
Nah, you know, man, I gave up on, you know, Jamie Dimon Jamie Dimon had a good interview and I think their heyday, I think it's over with, man. It really, you know, there's a 2-year chart of JP Morgan, you know, 2 years, what's that? 25%. I mean, that's not bad, but look at the volatility in here, man. I mean, this is insanity. I'm not a big bank guy anymore. And you know, to get a little bit political, I mean, you saw Leon Cooperman the other day,
right?
A guy who has spent his whole career year not wading into politics at all is knee deep in the middle of a shit storm with Elizabeth Warren.
Right.
The closer we get to an election, if and I predicted, you know, Jim, I was one of the, me, Jeffrey Gundlach, and about two other dudes not only predicted the president was going to win, but the market would rally.
Right.
And we were right. I am going to make this prediction. Whoever the Democratic nominee is, whoever it looks like it's going to be, if they're ahead in the polls, this market's going to pull back. And if they get elected, we will be in a bear market by the time the market opens the next day, period. This whole income inequality and the Wall Street's evil and billionaires are evil will absolutely destroy Wall Street. So I would stay away from these banks because they are target number one for Elizabeth Warren and the unwashed masses with their pitchforks. And we can debate over beer whether that's right or wrong. I completely think it's wrong. I agree with Leon Cooperman, this whole, you know, demonizing people with wealth. But these type of banks are on the ridgeline, and I don't like trading stuff that's on a ridgeline and will be a political issue. So these guys had their days, man. I remember old days of Goldman Sachs being the Death Star. Yeah. Those days are over with, in my opinion.
All right, here's one area that I wanted to cover with you because I think people might be interested. I was listening to Ray Dalio, and basically he has things he'd like to see occur, and then he has things he think will probably occur. And the probably occur right now is that the amount of debt out there, the liabilities from pensions and the liabilities from medical, it's going to create deficits and somebody's going to have to come up with the money. And he is a kind of a believer that there's a currency risk either happening or down the road, and that monetization is going to be a big thing. And so now let's turn over to that gold and silver. And we had a breakout earlier this year. It got way extended. It's now having pullbacks, consolidations. What's your gut feeling on the future of these metals?
The long term, my opinion on gold is to own it in your safe with your AR-15s that Beto O'Rourke apparently isn't going to be able to take back because he's unemployed. Own the physical stuff, man. I don't mind trading the paper stuff. I think when you jumped off the air, I was talking about the GLD. Used to trade this often up until they tried to pound Paulson out of business. You know, Paulson made his money predicting the financial crisis 2009, and then in the GLD about 2-3 years ago, he had a massive position, and a bunch of folks that didn't like him tried to put him out of business and put the GLD into a complete nosedive. It was absolutely no fundamentals or anything. It was just to drive the guy out of business. The GLD, you know, gold serves as a good hedge against inflation, but as you just alluded to, what inflation? I mean, we're not even, you know, the Federal Reserve can't even get us to a target at 2%. And the gold is a good hedge against everything you just said, Dalio said, which is the world's going to hell in a handbasket. If I'd be in some gold, the first thing I'd be in is physical gold in my safe protected by my guns. And the second way would be longer term bullish on the GLD. I wouldn't be a trader of it. Like you said, it was kind of boring for a while. And then
would you mess around with the GDX or the GDXJ, which gives you leverage and limited risk?
Yeah, the GDXJ is interesting. The miners are interesting too, but remember, you know, these things are also, and we were just talking about this oil, the miners are impacted by what? Stuff like oil. If there is I've been to mines. I worked with Meridian Gold down at their headquarters in Miami. I've done consulting with some of these gold companies.
Okay.
They got people, they got trucks, they got, you know, getting gold out of the ground is still, until the robots become self-aware and kill all of us, is still done by dudes. They're subject to the whims of the economy and also oil, man. Those trucks, those big, massive Tonka toys pulling stuff out of the dirt and creating new mines. I'd prefer with the GLD than I would with the miners.
I got you. Because there's so many unknowns with the share prices.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. With the GLD, there ain't no CEO, there ain't no earnings, there ain't no, you know, guy hopping on a jet with the cash. You can't, you know, gold, you can't fly on it, you can't eat it, you can't drive it. Yeah. You know, maybe you could put it in a pillowcase and use it as a weapon. So it's there. The GLD is there, but the GDX has a lot more of those things that I just mentioned that I'd just rather take the risk out of it.
And that Freeport-McMoRan, you know, used to be up in the 60 area, went all the way down to about 10. Some people are, you know, Carl Icahn supposedly, I thought, had a position in it. I can't confirm if he still does, but FCX is supposed to be something that people are looking at because it's also a pretty heavy copper play. And as you can see, see, there does seem to have some legs to it. And, you know, it's not that far from zero. So I like those ones because you can't lose more than what it's priced at. So if you like options that go for $10, you got an option right there for $10.
Huh? Yeah, any stock $10-ish and below is an option in and of itself. So
exactly, that's the only reason you'd buy it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
But the momentum on that's starting to improve a bit, wouldn't you say?
I absolutely would.
Yeah.
Looks so like they had semi-decent earnings and then a nice run off of that. Another Wall Streetism you're obviously familiar with is the, you know, the market's covered with a copper roof. So so I'd be more interested in the performance of copper than I would oil or any other commodity. I like you know, the GLD, the SLV, and there's a big difference between gold and silver. Obviously, silver is used for stuff. Unless you're a rapper in Memphis, you're not using gold for too much. You know, the SLV actually, that was another issue with trading silver, was around the time about 6 months ago when the Chinese government said, what? Hey, man, we export about 35% of the stuff you're using in your cell phones, and we might wake up one day and say, it's off. Now, they'd be biting off their nose to spite their face. But silver's got more of a practical use in the world than gold does. So, you know, I'd almost lean more towards, to be honest with you, trading the SLV over like a GLD. GLD, like I said, would be more end of the world, you know, Planet of the Apes type of stuff. But silver is, you know, is definitely interesting. It has more commercial applications and more real world impact than the others.
And its relationship to gold is extremely discounted in this current environment.
That's exactly, yeah, great point. Yeah. That's a very good point.
Another question for you was, let me just see, what was I going to ask you for? Oh, yeah. The holidays are coming up. And would you go into the junkyard and look at Macy's and see if there's another puff on that burnt out cigar that's on the ground?
Oh, man. Are they still in business? I mean,
They are. Get good cologne down there.
Oh, my God. Hell, I
let's take a look. M.
Yeah, going to Sears Roebuck, man, down here in Boca Raton. Oh, $16. I mean,
that's
I went
insane.
To Sears. Went to
34th,
Sears.
The 34th Street store is supposed to be worth just as much as the valuation now. So that's an
interesting. Oh, my God. Thing. Is that the real estate itself?
That's right.
That's insane. Right. But yeah. No, I tell my mom, my members every November 1st on their calendar, on their smartphone, it's on repeat annually, I put seasonal trades. Mm-hmm. So every November 1st, it's a reminder for us to take a look at the XRT, Amazon, XLY, and Visa. So I wouldn't do a Macy's. My seasonal trades are Visa, XLY, Amazon, and the XRT. The XRT has a great seasonal, November-ish rally. However, last October, so historically, October is the most volatile and creepy month, and then we start getting pictures of people beating the hell out of each other to save $10 on a flat screen, you know, at Walmart towards the end of November. We get our Santa Claus rally. I got to be honest with you, man. You know, we had a little craziness in the beginning of October, but we never look back. So either, you know, this September-ish was our October nightmare, or it's still yet to come. Since November 1st and yesterday and today's live trade briefs, I said I am holding on my seasonal trades because Murphy's Law says that I get long my seasonal trades and we get a, you know, here comes. I don't think the president's going to, you know, kind of be a Grinch. If I can use my Ouija board, I'm going to say that the president is going to try and meet the Chinese halfway. He's going to say, you know what, here's my good faith. I'm not going to do the December tariffs because if he goes through with December tariffs, now we don't have a Santa rally.
Then you can forget it. But what might be possible is between now and next week, we have some kind of a topping and then we have the pullback going into more towards Thanksgiving, and that'll open up the door for a rally at the end of the year for Santa Claus, but it might not be much higher than the highs we're seeing now, right?
I wrote instead of, I told my folks, I'm going to sit on my hand, just what you said, Jim, I'm going to sit on my hand for the rest of the week as far as the seasonal to see if we do top. If we hover and hold, I'm going to do my seasonal trades. If we hover and start heading lower, I'm going to pound this thing into the dirt. Yeah. So it really is going to be a binary choice here. We're going to hover, consolidate, and then, put your Santa hats on, or we're going to hover and not hold. And I think that is just going to be, it's not going to be market dependent. It's going to be news driven. This back and forth for the past, week on, hey, we're looking fantastic with everything, and the Chinese going, I don't think you're kind of hearing us, so let us say it again. So that this has to come to a head, this, hey, everything's fantastic with the trade deal, and Chinese saying, we don't know what you're talking about. So that's got to happen relatively soon. And if there is some, hey, we are on the same page, we go higher. If there is a, no, we're not, and we're not releasing tariffs, we're going to head lower. So yeah, my they're sitting on a catapult, man. My seasonal trades are on the catapult, ready to launch with their engines turning. But I don't want to get airborne too early on these because I might crash and burn.
Yeah, a couple of things is the buyback boom seems like it might be ending because the prices are so high on stock. The interest rates that were at 140 on the 10-year now at 185. So the valuation argument is not as good. And then the other thing that could obviously help, would be the earnings. But, the guy at JP Morgan saying margins are being squeezed by all these companies. And, you know, these people are dealing with a lot of businesses, so they're hearing it right from the ground.
That's exactly right. I still do a lot of business consulting and working with folks. I mean, for everybody who's saying, hey, earnings were good, I'm going to say they were bad. So at best, these were tepid earnings. I mean, these were kind of the lukewarm, hey, we can point to some standouts and then we can point to some misses. CSX is a perfect example. Great earnings on cost cuts. I'm like, okay, now we're back to this. We're going to cut ourselves to profitability. So a lot of firms, you know, tightening their belt with the uncertainty of the trade deal, but you can only pull your belt so tight, man, before you pass out. And I think you brought up a fantastic point in the, with the share buybacks. Folks, the number one buyer of the I love asking this question. The number one buyer of the S&P 500 for the past 2 years was who? People are like, the Fed, China, you know, hedge funds. I'm like, no. It's them. The number one buyer of the S&P 500 has been the S&P 500. And if you're a CFO or CEO looking at your share price right now at record highs, you ain't buying at record highs. You have
and
a
with
lot
these,
of-
And with these valuations, looking ahead down the road into a murky environment, because next year we do have an election, and Lord knows we know from history, anything can happen in those things.
That's exactly right. And as we covered, man, you get a, my prediction, Joe Biden's out in 30 days easily. If Elizabeth Warren's a front runner, Wall Street is going to go absolutely bananas. I don't think she's got a snowball's chance in hell of winning, but that might throw some volatility in there. So yeah, you know, this current stock price, you know, looking at forward earnings and all sorts of stuff like that, share buybacks are ending. And it's a great point. I don't know.
Well, the thing you have to be nervous with Elizabeth Warren is that if she can mobilize the millennials, there's a heck of a lot of votes there that did not happen last time. And just like Trump mobilized a lot of people that were business oriented that were not very happy with the way things are going, you know, you never know how these things play out. So that's why you have to, remain flexible. And a company like yours that can discuss how options can be used to either replace positions and reduce cash risk or to use as a hedge in case things do fall apart, you know, I think there's a lot of value to that. We're coming at the top of the hour, Wiz, and there's no question that we need to get the information on how to get in touch with a Top Gun. And you've got a litany of things that you offer. So let's give you some time now to explain that to people.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. It's always good working with you. The best way to kind of get an intro to what we do here at Top Gun Options, just go to our homepage, topgunoptions.com, and scroll down to where it says get the daily sit rep. This is a free 10 to 15 minute video I do every day. Sometimes I'm talking about current positions, but sit rep stands for situation report. It's a brief, military type of brief. And I use the term brief because it's not a long. So we don't do longs at Top Gun Options. We do trade briefs. So that's, you can just go here and click get the daily sit rep. It's free. All you have to do is enter your email address and you can jump on our list, and then we'll keep you in the loop about upcoming events. You know, this definitely is a time, folks, where like I covered with the VIX being down here at it's way below its resting heart rate. The average VIX since, what was it, 93, 94, whenever the VIX came out in SIBO, is a 20. And we're down here at 13 with, you know, cats and dogs living together in potential mass hysteria around the world. And the VIX is not going to stay this low for much longer. I haven't seen an extended period of low volatility like this in a long time. The last time I've seen extended periods like that, we got one of these. We got about a week and a half, and then we got one of those. So the right side of this chart is going to be up here at some point. And when it comes to volatility trades, it's always better to be a little bit early than late. It's like showing up 1 minute late for your flight at the airport. You ain't getting on the plane. So
once that VIX breaks above 15 or 20, it's a little late to start doing calculations.
Exactly. The hurricane's already over your house. So it's a little too late. So yeah, just sign up for our SITREP. Go.topconoptions.com/SITREP and take a look at our free videos. And we're actually full right now. Most of our trading services are completely full. We don't like big, we don't pack hundreds and hundreds of people in there because I like small, being able to answer everybody's questions. So maybe in a little bit you can join one of our services. Otherwise, just check out our free video.
That's great. Okay, well, thanks a lot for being here, Wiz. And obviously, everybody should check out what's going on over at Top Gun Options. And I'd like to let David come back in the picture here now. And again, encourage everybody to take advantage of the offer that you just heard.
All right, thanks, guys. Great show. Just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this show or any of the past shows. And I just want to thank my guests again for today. So Matt Buckley of TopGunOptionsShop.com and Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.
See you, guys. You bet.